Lord God, we ask that you fill us with your presence this morning. Open our eyes to your word, that may we receive it implanted in our hearts and its changing power. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord. Amen. And amen. Our meditation is on the gospel lesson that was just read from Mark chapter 7, if you have your Bibles and want to turn there. You know, according to the Center for Disease Control, the main cause of death in the United States is heart disease. There's a high percentage of people who suffer heart attacks, congestive heart failure, hardening of the arteries, and stroke. But yet, with all the advances we've made in medical care, a healthy diet, aerobic exercise, going to the gym, good rest can make a person's heart better. And the medicines that we have are beyond comparison to what were even 30, 40 years ago. Because if the heart was left alone, heart trouble can kill you. In our gospel this morning, Jesus speaks about the heart in a different way. He wasn't speaking about the central organ in our body that pumps blood. He meant the heart as the center of our personality. Our heart is the sense and source of desires, our intentions and actions. And according to Jesus, our hearts are not only prone to weakness and trouble, but left alone, they can also kill us spiritually. So Jesus and his disciples, they're confronted by the Jewish religious leaders as to why they were eating food with hands that are clean, unclean, and washed. And the Pharisees and the scribes were the ones that made up many, many rules to keep, and they always were following Jesus' disciples to see what they were doing wrong. The Pharisees weren't concerned about hygiene because in those days, people didn't really understand about the spread of germs like we do today. They were concerned that Jesus' disciples and Jesus himself were keeping the religious tradition of observances. And if ever there was a group of people that Jesus was diametrically opposed to, it was the Pharisees and the scribes. The word Pharisee literally means separated ones. The Pharisees in Jesus' time, they held the cards. They had all the power. They were the ones that were standoffish. They were the ones that would tell the people what to do and how to be holy. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 16, "Beware of the teaching of the Pharisees." Their teaching was man-made rules, or what we call legalism. Rules upon rules that weren't even in the Bible. You see, the religious leaders, the Pharisees, they had heart trouble. They paraded around in their self-righteousness and pride, looking down on people that were lower than themselves. And you know, they took the Ten Commandments. God gave 10 commandments. Not 12, not 20. Not anymore, 10. But the Pharisees and the scribes, they made a code of 5,000 additional laws that people needed to keep to ensnarl and burden them because of their religion. And they understood by keeping these, you were earning God's favor. You were deserving of God. And you know what? Even putting God in their debt, the Pharisees craved recognition. They wanted to grab the best seats in the house. They wanted to be at the head of the table at a feast. They even sewed bells on their robes so you could hear them coming. Oh, look, here comes one of the religious leaders. And when the Pharisees prayed, they would stand in front for everybody to see them, and they would say, "Oh, God, I thank you. I'm not like these other people. I tithe, I fast, I pray. Look at me." And in their own self-righteousness, They thought by keeping rules made one holy. So they asked Jesus, why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders? Instead, they're eating food with unclean hands. And Jesus looked at them, probably fairly angrily, and he hit them right between the eyes with a 2x4. He says, you hypocrites! Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship in vain teachings and rules made by men. And you know the definition of a hypocrite is an actor, one who puts on an outward show of righteousness, but doesn't really practice what they believe. Then Jesus goes further and says to them, you've got to find a way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to establish your tradition. He rebukes them for failing to obey the fourth commandment. Honor your father and your mother. But the Pharisees considered it more important to give special offerings to the temple instead of supporting elderly parents. They were interested in money and possessions at the expense of others. You know, the truth is, we are all guilty of honoring God with our lips, but our hearts really are far away from Him. We are kind of like, just like the Pharisees. Many times we parade our own self-righteousness before people, thinking, oh, I'm okay on the outside. But on the inside, it's a different story. And we somehow can earn God's favor by doing good deeds, being a good person. Yet we end up gossiping. We pretend to tell the truth. We don't consider the interests of others before ourselves. And many times we put on the same facade the Pharisees do. I know I do. And it's something I need to be cognizant of and watch. And you know, our culture today is one that seems to be very spiritual, right? And religious. Which says that by our own efforts, we can make ourselves right with God by being good people. Sin's just a moral glitch, a blight. It can be fixed by repairing our character, by getting self-help books, rather than sin being a cosmic disaster that leads to separation from God and eternal damnation. And our culture of greed, or cultural creed, rather, is that God wants people to be good, nice, and fair to each other, as taught by all religions. Our good works will earn us favor before God. The central goal in life is to be happy, to be content with oneself. God only needs to get involved if there's a major problem, if at all. I'm in charge. I determine what's best for me. And if we're told it's up to us to make right choices, we control our own destiny. But you know what? That's the furthest thing from the truth. You know what? There's no difference with the heart trouble of the Pharisees in our own hearts. Self-righteousness, pride, self-autonomy are all the trappings that go with our sinful nature. The Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And you know what? All our good works, all our good deeds are as filthy rags before God. Filthy rags. And you know, Jesus got the disciples together afterwards at the end of Mark 7. And he said, you know what? Don't pay attention to these Pharisees, these self-righteous people. It's not keeping rules. And you know what? It's not what goes inside a person that makes them unclean, washing and all this stuff. He says, what makes a person unclean is what comes out of their heart. And he says, for out of the heart come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, slander, pride, and foolishness. These are the things that make a person unclean, not keeping religious rules. That can't make you clean. Apart from Christ, we are lost, and all of us deserve eternal damnation. We need something outside of us to deliver us from our spiritual heart trouble. We need Jesus. In Luke chapter 7, a Pharisee invited Jesus over for dinner. Now, the Pharisees also wanted to get to know Jesus more, and many times invited him over to have dinner. And it says, as they were eating, a woman who had lived a sinful life heard that Jesus was in town, and there was just something about this woman that I have to go see Jesus. She brought a jar of perfume. Now, the Bible says nothing about the background of this woman. Maybe she lived a life of prostitution. We don't know. In those days, women were considered property. They were kind of like corrupt, not wanted, except for bearing children. So this woman comes as they were eating, and she kneels down with Jesus and begins to weep and wet his feet with her tears. There was no pride, no arrogance, no self-righteousness, only brokenness and pain. And when the Pharisee saw this, he said to himself, you know, if Jesus were truly a prophet, he would know what kind of woman this is. This woman is a sinner. And Jesus responded to the Pharisee, do you see this woman? I came into your house. You didn't wash my feet. But this woman, she keeps wetting them with her tears. You didn't give me a kiss. But this woman hasn't stopped kissing my feet. You didn't put any oil on my head, but she's anointed my feet with perfume. And he said to the Pharisee, I'll tell you the truth. This woman's sins, which are many, have been forgiven. And he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. You see, this woman, unlike the Pharisees and the religious leaders or our culture of spirituality today, realized that her life was empty, that she struggled with many sins. She realized that she had spiritual heart trouble. She was broken before God and seeing the need for a new heart that only Jesus can give. And it's the same with us today. It's when we recognize the depravity of our sin, our sinfulness, our brokenness before a holy God that we see the need for a new heart that only Christ can give us. Because God in his mercy sent Jesus to go all the way to the cross to die for you and for me, to take your sin upon himself and to give you his righteousness. In other words, to give you a new heart and eternal life. The truth is, we all come before God wretched, blind, naked, and poor, with our pockets empty. We bring nothing to God but our sin. That's why we need Jesus. Now, maybe you're having heart trouble like the Pharisees with pride and self-righteousness. Or maybe you are struggling and wallowing in guilt and shame or high anxiety, having maybe the feeling that you never measure up. And as with this woman, when we're honest with God about who we are and confess our sins, Jesus comes to you this morning and hear this. Your sins are forgiven. What you have done is past. By faith, he gives you new life. You know why the Bible says that King David was a man after God's own heart, and he was quite the sinner, wasn't he? or the story about Bathsheba. Because the reason why he was a man after God's own heart, he was always crying out for mercy. He realized his inadequacy and his need for God. He says in Psalm 38, I confess my iniquity. I am troubled by my sin. Just like the sinful woman, he realized the need for a new heart. Do we do that? In Psalm 51, he says, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Don't cast me away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. That's what God does for you and me this morning. When we confess our sins and recognize our brokenness, Jesus forgives us all our sins and creates in us a clean heart. And that's not just a one-time event. It's each day he gives us a new heart. So do you need that clean heart this morning? Jesus comes to you. He loves you desperately. In Jesus, we're given that new heart each day so that we no longer honor God with our lips, only our lips, but through daily repentance and faith through the Holy Spirit, we can honor him with our hearts. The good news, brothers and sisters, is that God relents from giving you and me what we deserve and instead pardons you. That's the gospel. That's the good news for you and me this morning. No more heart trouble. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God